Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. On yesterday's podcast, we talked about strategies for shifting your perspective from looking at bad behavior or behavior that we don't like in our children, from looking at that as a skill, as an intentional behavior, right, as just problematic behavior, mm-hmm, and shifting over to looking at it as a skill deficit that, right, the child maybe just can't do what we need them to do.
You know, years ago, there was I think it was Stanley Greenspan. He had a developmental pediatrics clinic, I believe, in New Jersey. And he came up back in the 70s. No comments from... No, here we go again. You can't inhibit. And he came up with this concept of... He called involuntary deviance, and he, mm-hmm, applied it to children with chronic medical conditions.
Right.
And that because they had chronic medical conditions, or ADHD, mm-hmm, or some other condition like that, that they were doing things that we didn't want them to do,
mm-hmm,
let's say misbehaving,
mm-hmm,
but it wasn't voluntary,
right,
misbehaving. It was involuntary deviant. They were deviating, but they weren't doing it intentionally,
mm-hmm,
okay? And that's where this whole concept,
right,
got started, of involuntary deviance. But we see that, but the same thing applies to typically developing,
mm-hmm,
children.
Right.
The same idea is that they're not, there's a greater likelihood that they're not doing these things to make you angry or,
mm-hmm,
to be disobedient. They don't have that purpose. There,
mm-hmm,
may be a purpose,
right,
but that's not the purpose. So rather than seeing misbehavior as defiance, we urge parents to see it as involuntary deviance because they don't have the skill, they don't,
right,
have the ability to do it,
right,
or they don't have the skill to do it.
Right. And at the end of yesterday's podcast, you kind of mentioned the collaborative problem-solving,
right,
model that Ross Green talks about,
mm-hmm,
and promotes, and that we share that perspective. And,
right,
today we're pulling some information from an article written by John Lasser, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
John Lasser, entitled Alternatives to Punishment and Rewards, where he talks about not just some of Ross Green's ideas, the collaborative,
right,
approach, but also some information presented in the past by Dr. Alfie Cohen,
mm-hmm,
who is another sort of pioneer in the area of adjusting the way in which we,
mm-hmm,
work with our kids and think about parenting.
Right, right. Alfie Cohen takes this from a parenting perspective,
mm-hmm,
you know, and when he was beginning to raise his own children, he was troubled by this whole concept of reward and punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So he did a considerable amount of very impressive research looking through the literature. And what he found was that the reward and punish, you know, reward kids for their good behavior and punish,
mm-hmm,
them for their bad behavior, didn't work so well. And,
mm-hmm,
what he discovered, and the most fascinating thing to me as a, I don't like to consider myself a scholar, but it was scholarly work, or the work of a scholar. I don't want to give myself credit. You certainly don't want to give me credit. So.
I'm just sitting here listening to you.
I know what that look means. What Cohen did is he went into the literature, and what he found was that there were many studies that were analyzed the effectiveness of rewards,
mm-hmm,
or that analyzed the effectiveness of punishment, and found that they weren't effective at all.
Right.
There were many studies that have been published that demonstrate efficacy, that demonstrate that these are effective. But there are other, and there are many other studies that demonstrate that it doesn't always work and it,
mm-hmm,
may not be the best way to deal with a particular child. And he's particularly troubled by the concept of rewards, you know,
mm-hmm,
rewarding children. He said that's just another form of external control. And,
mm-hmm,
that's not what we want. That's,
right,
not ultimately your goal is to create children who are able to solve their own problems and,
right,
make their own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep all the control, and,
mm-hmm,
we've talked about control all,
right,
week, if you keep all the control, your children never have the opportunity,
right,
to learn how to do it themselves.
Right. And where those discrepancies seem to be most evident the discrepancy between articles and researchers that find that reward and punish can be beneficial, and right. then those who say that it's not. Isn't the difference between those two pools of articles tends to be in the area of generalizability right. and consistency. And that is, if you have a child who's doing something wrong mm-hmm. and you punish that child, it may stop that behavior right then.
Right.
Thereby, by definition, mm-hmm. it was successful in stopping that behavior.
Right.
Absolutely. However, if you put the child in that same situation again, what is the likelihood that that child's going to engage in that behavior the next time? And what the research suggests is, trying to change that behavior through punishment doesn't generalize. It doesn't suggest that the next time the child's in that situation that he won't do that behavior.
Right.
We think about, I think one of the easiest examples is when you go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to the store, you go to the grocery store, and your child asks for candy when they're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may punish the child. You may say, no, mm-hmm. you're not going to get any candy. You may, pat their hand. You may do all kinds of different things to punish the child for crying or acting out for asking
right.
for the candy. But what's going to happen the next time you go to the grocery store?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to ask for candy again.
Right.
Your punishment, it may have stopped the behavior at that moment.
Right.
But it didn't result in a long-lasting change in behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we have that difference, and why Alfie Cohen and many others have looked at these issues of reward and punish
right.
to find that it just doesn't sustain. It's
right.
just not effective in really accomplishing what we want to accomplish.
But since the 1960s, at least, and probably before that. It's 50 years, 60
mm-hmm.
years. We have grown up, everybody has grown up on this idea that you reward good behavior
mm-hmm.
and you punish children for, you don't punish bad behavior, you punish children
mm-hmm.
for having
right.
bad behavior. And it just isn't very effective.
Right.
It should be, it's intuitively appealing
mm-hmm.
that, well, if I get punished, I'm not going to ever do that again.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Right.
Because we tend to punish kids repeatedly for the same offense.
Right.
Yesterday we mentioned that 2 or 3 skill deficits account for 80% of bad behavior.
Right.
That's what we're talking about here, is that you tend to punish your children for this, for doing the same things. And how many times do parents come in and say,
right.
I've told them 1,000 times.
Right.
Of course you have. You
right.
know, that's how this whole thing works, because reward and punish are not effective. But when you suggest to parents and teachers that it's not effective and there are better, they say, well, what else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is we just don't talk enough about what the alternative. There are many alternatives
right.
to reward and punish. We just don't teach them as much as we teach reward and punish.
Right. And one of the reasons why people don't teach this very often is because people want that immediate fix. I mean,
that's
parents
right.
want,
that's right.
you want to be able to do something at the time that your child is crying and asking for that candy. You want to be able to do something right then that's going
mm-hmm.
to make that behavior stop.
Right.
That's punishment.
Right.
But what we're talking about is, if you want long-lasting change, if you want your child to engage in appropriate behavior because the child knows what appropriate behavior is and knows how
right.
they're supposed to act in
mm-hmm.
different situations, as opposed to just avoiding a punishment, then we have to teach them
that's right.
what behavior to do.
It's if what you're after is immediate, if you want a toolkit of immediate techniques
mm-hmm.
that end a behavior immediately, it doesn't end it everywhere, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
It may not end it in another setting,
right.
but if you want this ability to have these weapons, whether they're things you can say or threats you can make, or a switch or a wooden spoon or some implement
right.
or your hand to get immediate obedience, if that's your goal,
right.
then these things, you might want to use these things. But if your goal is to teach your child how to self-regulate
mm-hmm.
and how to solve his own problems and how to keep herself under control in all settings,
mm-hmm.
there are other techniques. They take longer,
mm-hmm.
granted. It's not an immediate solution.
Right.
They take longer, but they work better, right. And they become permanent. They become right. a part of the child's life,
right.
Whether you're there or not.
Right.
You know, it takes longer, but it teaches the child how to take care, how to manage their own behavior.
Right. Yeah, and you know, there may be times, we may be able to identify times if we really kind of stretch sure. things, where you need that immediate
right.
reaction, that immediate stopping of a behavior.
Right.
Sure, that may happen. But the vast majority of what you're dealing with your child does
right.
not require that.
Right.
And instead, we can shift mm-hmm. to a different approach
mm-hmm.
To managing this. And the approach is teaching. You know, what you said this a minute ago. I keep telling them, I've told them 1,000 times not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But how many times do we tell them what to do?
What to do instead.
Right. we don't really spend as much time. We tell them, don't climb on the chair. Don't play with that. Don't go into that room.
Right.
Instead, we need to teach them what they should be doing.
Right.
You know, sometimes, especially with little ones, they just need some direction. They need mm-hmm. to know what their options are because, man, whatever it is that they're wanting in that room or up right. on the counter is really attractive, and they really
right.
want that. And so we have to pull their attention to something else and give them something else to mm-hmm. do as opposed to just telling them what not to do.
Right. And this is particularly useful with young children.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get with teenagers, you say, don't eat in your room.
Right.
Okay. You don't want, because in Florida and many other places around the country, if you get crumbs and food, mm-hmm. you're going to attract insects and rodents and things. So everybody said, don't eat in your room. Is there another skill that you can teach?
Right.
You know, and so there are challenges like that,
right.
okay? But I'm convinced that if a parent is really interested in teaching a child mm-hmm. alternatives, if you have the patience, and Dr.
Right.
Lasser talks about that, you have to have patience
mm-hmm.
because it takes longer,
right.
and you have to be patient, and you have to know that children will slip once in a while,
right.
that they'll forget, or they'll slip, or they'll say, I'm too tired, I don't care,
mm-hmm.
and so they will slip once in a while. What you have to ask yourself is, do you want to punish your child so severely that you damage your relationship? Is it mm-hmm. worth it?
Right.
You know, and that's what you always have to ask yourself. Is it worth it to run the risk of damaging our relationship? Yes, you have to have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many other ways to accomplish mm-hmm. these goals. And that's what we're urging you to do, is consider the alternatives. If you can't think of any, give us a call. We have
mm-hmm.
many ways to do this.
Yeah.
But don't resort to punishment. It really isn't the kind of defiance that we typically think about. And the
right.
reward and punish systems, rewards don't work any better than punishments.
Right.
Alfie Cohen said one time, rewards and punishment are two sides of the same coin, and neither side buys you very much.
Right.
And I think he's absolutely right.
Right.
It's just not the way to raise children.
Right.
If you want to train a dog,
mm-hmm.
use reward and punish.
Right.
You want to train a horse? But if you want to train children, if you want to raise humans, one of the books he mentions is Raising Human Beings.
Mm-hmm.
If you're raising human beings, there are other alternatives
right.
that you can use.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, this may necessitate the support or the help or the assistance of a professional.
Right.
It may be difficult for you to identify what skill your child is lacking or what you need to do. And you know, there's a good portion of you, I would presume, listening to this, that have teenagers. Well, if you've managed your child for 14 years, 15 years
mm-hmm.
in the reward punish system,
right. mm-hmm.
and now you're going to try to shift to collaborative, it's going to be difficult.
Right.
You know,
right.
it would be difficult to shift to any other
mm-hmm.
Approach. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't shift. It
right.
just means that it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Right.
Those of you who have little ones,
mm-hmm.
toddlers,
yeah,
really young children,
right. mm-hmm.
it's going to be a little bit easier because you're still working
starting
with
over.
A
right.
very moldable type
mm-hmm.
of situation. So depending on the age of your child, depending on what the behavior is that you're thinking about, depending on a lot of different
mm-hmm.
things, these skills may be more or less difficult
right.
to teach.
Right.
But again, if you need help, get some help. Talk to somebody, talk to a child or
mm-hmm.
Parenting specialist. You know, there are some great resources online
yeah.
from Ross Green. You know, Alfie Cohen's books are
right.
really good. One of them is Punished by Rewards.
Punished by Rewards.
Some really good books there that talk about this very thing.
And yesterday we talked about a little bit about collaborative problem solving. You know,
that's Ross Green's.
Yeah, one of the ways to do this is to bring your child into the solution.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to generate all the solutions.
Right.
You can bring your child, because now the child has an investment. So when they fall short, they're falling short of accomplishing their goal.
Right.
You know, and they have to have some investment here.
Right.
And that's what you want. You want them to be invested in this.
Right.
Because you want to give up external control. That's what Cohen doesn't like about rewards or punishments.
Right.
They're both external.
Right.
Somebody else has to do it.
Right.
Whereas what your goal is to get the child to do it.
Right.
So that's one of the ways. This is not a plug or an ad, but you and I have written this book. We're in the process of revising it right now.
It is an ad, a plug and an ad. It's our book. They can buy it. Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child.
So blatantly materialistic. Self-serving. What else?
There's a link in the show notes. So you can take it right to Amazon.
No,
and you can get it.
No. But when we talk about We Can Help, there we've written this book where we talk about behavior and attention and love, those three ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And we repeat throughout that book that you teach to teach rather than to punish.
Right.
Okay, it's a theme throughout the book, and so there are resources like that, including our own. Now we're just about finished with the revision. We should be done soon.
Part three.
Part three. So you can go to Amazon.
Yeah.
We're not going to get well. I mean, it's not expensive.
No, it's not expensive.
And you can buy the pieces that you want, and so there are resources out there. If you're interested in making the transition from reward and punish, which most parents know, they'll come in and say, nothing works.
Right.
What they mean is reward and punish doesn't work.
Right.
There are other ways that we can talk to you about it. Or you can read this book, get the book and look at it. If you see something you like and want to try it, go ahead. If you have questions, give us a call.
Yeah. And one of the things to mention, because this is a question that people often ask, avoiding reward and punishment does not necessarily mean that there's not a consequence.
That's right.
Consequences are different than reward and punish. Consequences are just what happens after a behavior.
Right.
Okay? And so just a super quick example to demonstrate what we're talking about. If your child needs to be doing his homework and he's playing video games instead, and you can't get him to stop his video games to do his homework, and this is a problem repeatedly, we're not talking about a problem with video game addiction. We may be just talking about a problem with transitioning, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit down with your child and you can say, buddy, obviously we fight every night when you have to stop your video games to come to do homework, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Why are we having this problem? We've done this hundreds of times.
Right.
Almost every time the kid says, well, it's just hard for me to stop playing my video game to go do homework because I don't want to do homework.
Right.
Okay. That's that's fine.
Sensible.
I mean, that's
right. That's a reasonable decision. What would you rather do, homework or play a video game?
Who wouldn't? So then if that's going to be a difficulty for you, how can we fix this problem?
Right.
Again, 9 times out of 10, the kid will either say, well, I probably should do my homework before I start playing video games.
Right.
There's your solution.
Get my homework finished first, then I can play video games as long as I want.
Now, some kids will say, well, I could play my video games for just 30 minutes, and then when the timer goes off, then I can go do my homework.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that may be a solution as well. We can try both of those, or either one of those.
Right.
And then, again, in this collaborative model, you say, all right, so let's think about what could happen. Let's say that you're playing video games and 30 minutes is up, and I come in and I say, hey buddy, your 30 minutes is about up. It's about time to get off, and you don't want to. What should happen then?
Mm-hmm. What should we do?
What should we
do?
How do
we solve that problem?
And again, 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, they'll say, well, then that would mean that probably doesn't work, and so we'll have to do the change to the other one where I do my homework before. It works very consistently.
Right.
It's just a matter of sitting down and having a conversation. As the parent, you're getting exactly what you want, which is your kid doing his homework.
That's your goal.
Right.
And you want your child to become a problem solver.
Right.
Okay. And just think of that. if you start early with this collaborative problem solving, by the time they get to elementary and middle school, they're becoming very good at problem solving.
Right.
It's something they've grown, they're accustomed to it, and they know you respect their opinion,
right,
and they know that they can trust you and that you're going to work together,
right,
and that you'll listen to them. All the things that you really want.
Right.
If you rely on punishments,
right,
by the time they get to late elementary, middle school, and especially high school, the punishments have to become so dire, and actually they challenge you. So, okay, what are you going to do now? I mean, what's enough of a punishment?
How are you going to make me do my homework?
Right.
As you were saying, if you start this in first, second, third grade,
right,
by the time they get in high school, this is automatic. And so, you know, again, thinking about those situations where by the time they're 12 years old and they're able to stay home alone,
right,
or they come home from school and they're home alone by themselves for a little
right
while, they have created the awareness and understanding to where they're getting their homework done before you get home.
You don't have to be there.
You don't even have to be there to monitor and make sure they're doing it.
That's right.
And so because they've learned that this is the best way to function.
Right.
For me to get all the things I need to get done, this is what I do.
And what do we always talk about? We talk about practice, right? When we say it takes time, you have to start early and they have to practice. This is a skill.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an athletic skill. If you want them to get good at it, it takes time. A 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old can do those things, but they're better. The more they do it, the better they're going to be.
Right.
And it's the same with this. If you want them to be problem solvers, you have to give them the opportunity to practice problem solving.
Absolutely.
Are they going to fall short? Yes. Are they going to forget? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But practice and practice and practice over time, and they will get good at it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, all right. That is it then for today. Teach, don't punish. All right. Tomorrow's podcast is going to be the last individual interview from our trip to the Philippines. You're going to hear some new intro music. We're hoping that you'll hear some new intro music and some new some new graphics and stuff for those of you watching on YouTube. Love to hear what you think about it. We're going to start applying the new music and graphics and stuff.
Love the graphics.
Starting next week. So. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you if you like it, and if it's a little bit easier getting into the podcast when you're listening to that. So
constantly evolving, constantly improving,
always. So, all right.
Good thing we're young because we have a lot to do.
That's right. Always so much to do. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.